I love next gen.
It's my favorite gen.
I love next gen because... What does next gen really mean?
It, you know? The next generation. But can it see why kids love Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
No. Impossible. Is it truly nerf or nothing?
Stay tuned.
All these questions and more answered today.
We'll be asked.
Put the intro. Thank you. Anyways, so, hey, Rich, how are you?
I'm doing fine-ish. I'm good. How are you?
That's good. I'm hanging in. And welcome, everybody. I am Eric Ortiz. Across the virtual table from me, as always, is Rich Meister.
I'm out here in no man's land.
Out here in no man's land, here to give you the latest and greatest and not so greatest opinions. That's it.
That's it.
I was going to say opinions, articles, goings-ons, anything really.
All those fun things.
There's been a few things that actually have happened since our last cast. Next gen is starting to get some legs because now we're actually starting to see, at least on the PlayStation side, some additional titles that are upcoming. I believe Ratchet and Clank was had a trailer released.
That's out.
And they're going to have a state of play. Yeah. Returnal is getting their reviews in.
That's out.
So far, it's really good.
I'm probably going to pick that up because it sounds very up my alley.
Yeah, it's good.
Resident Evil's out the following week.
Yeah, Resident Evil. We're officially coming back out of the hiatus and getting some releases here. Now, I'm pretty excited
about it. Pokemon
Snap's
out tomorrow, too.
Oh, it tomorrow?
Yeah.
Fuck Snap. Hey, I'm personally excited for a lot of these releases, mainly because I don't think we've had a proper vehicle to really drive into the idea of a next generation just yet. I mean, sure, we've had Demon's Souls, and you've had some, you know, I'm going to call Last of Us Part 2 a next gen title,
it's
just
not,
because
it doesn't even have,
I know it's not.
It doesn't even have a PS5 version.
I'm not focused on the numbers next to the console.
Then
you know?
What are you focused on?
I'm an idealist. I'm thinking big picture. I'm just saying, out of the past year, what I have played, that is what I at least consider next gen. But it's nice to know we're getting some official new releases like Returnal. That are fresh. Yeah, that are fresh. They're new IPs. It's something that I think is an interesting concept. And it'll actually be able to determine whether or not next gen has legs, you know, in both graphics, functionality, and so far from the reviews that I've seen pull in, it does. It's a good game from what I'm getting. But how does it play? Huh? Like, is it worth though the $70? And Rich, I want to talk to you about this because I've seen this question popping up more often, especially now that we are approaching all these new release windows for these titles. We talk about Game Pass all the time because it's fucking great.
It's fucking.
I'm sorry for my crude language. I just really like it.
It's fucking mad dope, yo.
It's great. They have the entire Yakuza series on there. They got the Elder Scrolls. They got Listen, those are just titles that have already come out too. We're completely dismissing the fact, as you've already known from all episodes, that they always release newer titles now as well. They just hop on Game Pass. And that's pretty damn tempting a lot of the time. And I usually recommend Game Pass to anybody who just even has Windows, because why wouldn't you? You know, don't you want a game on release?
Come on, don't you
want to
be a cool kid?
Yeah, don't you want to be the cool kid? And now that a lot of these new releases are coming out, even more specifically so for PlayStation, like Returnal, Ratchet and Clank, etc., people are asking, should you pay $70? Is it worth it?
Yeah, that's the big question, and I think the answer is easier than it's ever been, as far as I'm it's a case-by-case basis. Like, you kind of need to make that judgment call for yourself, and I think, like, the middling price point thing is becoming more and more common. I know people point to Housemarque and Returnal as a weird $70 title because all of their past titles were like lower end cheap titles. And I think people are like hesitant to be like, oh, really? It's like a roguelike that is $70? Like, how much content is in there? And I think you got to do the research and make the judgment for yourself. What I can say for Returnal, because I've been keeping an eye on it, game looks fucking gorgeous. And also, from my understanding, runs can last up to like an hour and a half, 2 hours in that game.
That's what I was reading too. And I want to talk about later what the concern, my concerns would be on that. Sure. It's already been stated, I think, a few times. If it's it has to do with that runtime.
The fact that you can't save in the middle of a run for some reason.
Yeah.
Which feels like...
Yeah, and I want to get into that.
If they have any way to bolt that onto the end, they should do it. Because that is the one part that concerns me. Because I don't think the PS5's hibernation mode thing is reliable enough for that to be okay.
I agree 150%. And I think that directly ties into what you were saying. You know, do your research. Be a smart consumer if that's something that's up your alley. But even say, when I saw Ratchet & Clank, at least the trailer for it, and they released all the information, truly, and I remember my brother even said this too, I was watching this and thinking, man, that's next gen.
That game looks so unbelievably gorgeous.
I still, with Returnal being released, with, you know, Village coming out, even though I really don't, I mean, I consider it next gen technically, but with a couple of other titles that are still yet to release so far, and this is with Demon's Souls existing, Ratchet & Clank looks like the most next gen title out of this entire suite of products coming out
here. And I can't quite pin it. There's something about the animation style of that and the way they've just managed to make it pop that it's one of, like, I'm so ecstatic to see that playing on my fucking TV.
Yeah. And when I was watching it, I remember, I think it was a couple of casts ago, or maybe
Ratchet
it was just
and Clank
something
are coming
I was
to Among
mentioning
Us,
to you.
Don't forget.
Hmm?
Among Us getting a PS5 version with Ratchet and Clank costumes. That's a real thing.
So is Among Us next gen? I guess Among Us.
So Among Us is now next gen. Yeah.
Really happy for the trajectory of that game. What a rags to riches tale. And that's not even to say the rags were even that bad.
I also
it's just
love me
completely
some...
ballooned into something that was absolutely insane.
Just love me some Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah. Ratchet and Clank, though, I don't know if it was something in passing that I had mentioned or whether it was on a cast. I know I mentioned this once, but whenever the topic of graphical fidelity came up, in the past I was always pretty set on the way that, you know, with games like Ratchet and Clank that adopt this cartoony style, eventually it's going to hit a plateau. And that's what I used to at least think and say, that, you know, Ratchet & Clank in terms of HD, Jak and Daxter in terms of HD, Sly Cooper, a lot of those cartoony animation style types of games, even ones like, say, even Bugsnax, to be more relevant to this. Eventually, you can only make them look
you reach a point where it's like, this good. Is the best fidelity and resolution we can get out of this sort of art, and that's it. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Like, yeah, exactly. And
but then they keep upping the bar.
Let me just say, too... With that being said, that is so... I'm still blown away by how good this looks. I cannot tell you how happy I am to be overwhelmed and impressed with what I had seen so far. I thought Ratchet & Clank, in terms of graphics, the best you were ever going to see was on the PS4 version when they re-implemented the game. And goddamn,
does
this
blow that out of the water?
This game has a... These guys have a habit... of making the best-in-class examples for what a game like this can look like, for what an animation style like this can look like. It blows me away. It very much so, even to me, relates to, say, how Pixar is making their films in terms of animation. Like, when I watched Soul, I have to say, I was blown away. And the same thing happens here. I am absolutely blown away, once again, by Ratchet and Clank, because it's always this team and it's always this publisher and developer team that makes this thing that looks so goddamn realistic and good, even though it's a cartoon. That's insane to me.
We love Insomniac. They do
the good ones. Absolutely. And I truly believe that the reason why I think it'll be next gen is not only just for graphical fidelity, but also because of functionality. I don't know or haven't seen options of actual load times in this outside of the main start of the game.
Also, that's
kind of just go. Well,
that's one of the big draws of it, and they talked about this a lot in the early demo stuff, was the Into the Nexus title, where there's like these cracks in reality where you're slipping between different worlds. And the big draw they were having there was like, yeah, these cracks appear and you can jump through them and the environment changes entirely and there's zero load times. Like, yeah, this is all real time.
I'm sure you're going to hear the case that, oh, the cracks or the rifts, they are to act as their load.
I'm sorry, portals, Ripped Apart. Into the Nexus is a totally different Ratchet and Clank game.
I was immediately going to call. I wasn't even going to say anything. I was going to ride on that, so I thought it too. People are going to make the case that those rifts are the loads. And, I mean, they kind of do act as that. But the fact that it's so fast that it essentially doesn't make itself apparent, that to me is still
you don't have
really
to
insane.
Hold a rock in the air while somebody crawls underneath it.
Exactly. You don't need to do anything. No going into tight crevices.
You guys
want to
crawl through.
You just hop right into it. Yeah, anytime that always used to be like my flex on all of my collective knowledge on game design, which is nil. Whenever somebody would go and crawl through something, I'd be like, oh, you know, that's a load time. You know, that's a load time right there. In this, ever since we saw that on the trailer, I was thinking, okay, there'll probably be a load time here and there. I still have not seen any evidence of this where it became impactful. So if you haven't seen the trailer for that, look it up.
Check it out.
Look up the state of play.
Looks great.
Just check it out. Even if you're not into Ratchet and Clank anymore, this may make you. It just always has a fun cavalcade of characters to it. Never gets old.
That new playable
and
character
just continues to be good.
Rivet has a solid design too, and she has like a hammer instead of a wrench. And
even like a copy, like this is what I mean. Even the simple design, like oh, what if female Ratchet?
What if Ratchet
different?
Was girl?
Yeah, what if Ratchet was a girl and had a hammer? Like, okay, and it works. It's very smartly designed. I really dig it. Really looking forward to that.
What if
kind of really pissed I can't play that right away, but
what if Zelda was a girl?
That. Yeah, and this is coming from somebody who skipped the PS4 Ratchet and Clank.
The remake of one or reimagined.
Yeah, I just didn't. I really didn't have too much of an interest in it just to play it, even though I know it was a great game.
You do technically own it now.
Technical.
Whether you want to or not, Sony made sure.
So really excited about that, though.
That looks great. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for Resident Evil, obviously. And
I'm really excited for Resident Evil.
Have you seen we never got to have the conversation, unfortunately, about how fucking garbage that demo setup was.
Yeah, because it was timed. And
the hours were terrible. For me on the East Coast, I would have had to have woken up first thing Sunday morning and been like, better get this demo in. But now they've announced it's going to open up again this weekend for a week straight with no time constraints.
Yeah. It's about time. It's about time that they actually gave a shit.
Because I want to play this demo. I want to see...
Yeah, I think originally the arguments were, oh, you know, it's supposed to be timed because you got to be good. And I'm like, I don't think it has anything to do with that.
I think you're just kind
of an idiot.
I think
it's just availability windows.
Yeah.
I'm really excited for that just because I've been drinking the Resident Evil Kool-Aid since 2. So
same here, briefly stopped with 6. It's not even fair to say, because like shortly after 6 and stuff, they had like revelations and crap, which got me back in whole hog.
I 2 got me back into Resident Evil whole hog.
Oh, the 2 remake,
so
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
2 remake. 3 I jumped in with this. I always state this too. Every once in a blue moon there will be a game that will pique my interest to where I'll never stop playing it until it's 100% done on my terms, and Resident Evil 2 Remake was that.
Same here.
I thought 3 would do it. It did not. It still was an enjoyable game, though.
3 was fun, but it was no 2.
Would I have paid full price for it, as I said one time on a previous cast? No. But it was still a good game.
Totally.
And it looked great. With this, however, I am not going to get it immediately because I still want to play... what was it? Which one was the good one? Was it 7?
7, yeah. 6 is the bad one.
Yeah, 6. I keep thinking of the 6 logo, and I'm thinking, no, not you. Not you.
The giraffe.
Yeah, I'm like, not you, not you. 7, I still have to play.
7's great.
And then I want to jump into it. Yeah, because I remember you singing its praises, and you were telling me, do it in the VR.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. I just never got to. And I'm really looking forward to this being good, too, because I think this is actually going to revitalize... I think Resident Evil has already been revitalized in the eyes of a lot of people.
I think
now.
7 did it.
I think 7 did it. I think Remake was just the icing on the cake.
the stuff they pulled off with Remake 2 was like, yes, very much that, like, oh, holy shit, like, they still got it, baby.
It did it for me. I gotta be real. It did it for me. They released 7, and I was unsure, even though it received good reviews, and I played 2, and damn.
Let me segue... That
totally resurged my interest.
...into something loosely related while we're on Resident Evil.
I like loosely related.
One of the games I wanted to talk about this week was in VR, and the reason I bring that up is because of Resident Evil, I finally caved and bought an Oculus Quest 2.
It did come. I love how you're going to go, let me just jump into cyberspace and just put it on.
Gleaming Cube. Yeah, after watching that Resident Evil 4 for Oculus Quest 2 tease a few weeks back, I knew I wanted one of these for a while, but, like, weirdly enough, that comfort food of Resident Evil 4 was what made me just pull the trigger on it so I'd have it. So I picked up the Oculus Quest 2, and there's, like, two big things of this I want to talk about. One, I've been playing a bunch of Half-Life Alyx, which I can't wait to talk about. And you might be saying, if you know how a lot of this stuff works and you're a real gamer, you might... anyway, I'm thinking, you might be thinking, that's Steam VR, how are you making that work? And that's one of the things I wanted to sing the praises of with the Oculus Quest 2. There's the obvious solution where you can get a proprietary USB-C that plugs into it, that then plugs into your PC and makes it PC VR. The week I purchased this, a new app came out that completely changed that and made me return that $70 cable without opening it. There's now a $20 app on the Oculus Quest store called Virtual Desktop. You install this and you install a companion app on your PC, and then you launch into VR, and you can log into your desktop to stream it to your headset over Wi-Fi. Streaming it that way also makes the Oculus... your PC recognize the Oculus Quest for what it is, so you can play PC VR games and just stream them over Wi-Fi to your headset. So I'm playing Half-Life Alyx entirely wirelessly, which is awesome.
That's really... And how does it run?
It runs great. Like, I expected it, like, to be butter? Problematic. It is like fucking butter.
Like butter?
And yeah, like, my main time focus in there has been, I played a little Vader Immortal, a little Star Wars game that was cool.
Those are cool, yeah.
But, my main focus has been Half-Life Alyx, and it's fucking wild how, like, again, Valve, like, coming out of nowhere to set a precedent for certain things. Like, they just came up with ideas that I think make sense and we're going to see continue into, VR going forward. Like, they made inventory make sense in a way, I think. Like, you have to, like, drop stuff over your shoulder to put it in a backpack, which makes a degree of sense. And then the main focus of, again, I think it's going to be one of those, like, detective vision things where every game has to find a way to justify this that's in VR now. But obviously, you remember back in the day, Half-Life 2, the big, like, tech showy thing of it was the gravity gun.
Yeah.
In Half-Life Alyx, you have gravity gloves. So the way it works is if you see an object in the distance, you hold out your hand, and if it lights up orange, you close your fist and then you just flick your wrist back and it just pulls it towards you and you can catch it in the air. And that's the thing they use to kind of make the action feel really fast paced. So when you're not shooting with one hand, you're throwing something with the other or pulling ammo from across the room so you can reload your gun. It makes it easier than, like, that sort of story, like, purely story-driven experience where it's like, I gotta bend down and look at this thing, and you're just flicking what you need across the room and moving for, I think, like, the fastest-paced action I've seen a game be able to pull off comfortably in VR. This game's great.
It's making me very jealous, because this is, like, the number one thing on my wish list.
The next time,
I just haven't been able to justify.
The next time we can see each other in a room, you have to try this.
I'm afraid to, because I know I'll buy a headset the next day.
One thing I can say, you can do what I confidently did with the knowing of that app. I bought the cheaper Oculus with the smaller internal storage because I could just play a lot of these things over Steam and I don't have to store them, you know, directly on the headset.
Oh, I like that. Oh, that's tempting. I every time back in the day, I would go on the Valve Index wait list, and I would just sit there for a couple of weeks, and I was thinking, you know, by the time that I get picked anyway, I'll be ready. And every single time they're like, hey, it's time. And I'm like, I'm not ready. Like, I can't do it. I can't pull the trigger. I want it so badly.
One weird note I should probably put, and I hope they come up with something to fix this eventually. I'm going to look for third-party solutions. The Oculus Quest 2 is a very small headset. My glasses don't fit in it. You need your glasses while you're playing VR. What
you blind in there, man?
What I have to do is I take my glasses off, I shove them into the headset, and then I have to, I'm showing you here, like, I have to put them in the headset and then put the headset on.
For a split second, I thought you were messing with me, and I thought you were going to say, so this is what I actually have to do. I put my glasses on the outside of the headset, and this allows me to get vision.
Game That's when you see, vision. In the video version of this podcast, just a blurb pops up that says, I move away from the mic to inhale.
Yeah. I simply just tape my glasses around the outside, and that gives me 20/20 vision.
And that's actually with the glasses divider put on. It does come with, basically, the face guard comes with a glasses version, which is just, it makes it come out twice as far. But my glasses are too wide to go in the headset.
They're too fancy.
They're too, they don't like.
You have to get those cheap frames.
My Warber Parky,
Warby Parky.
Warby Parkies.
You want your Warby Parky glasses?
The other thing I'll say briefly that I think is super cool about the Oculus Quest 2 is the way you set up your play area. I feel like everybody knows with this by now. You basically draw a circle around yourself with the controller to be like, I'm safe to move in this area.
I still think that's the coolest way to establish a VR space.
And then also, because Oculus Quest 2 does inside-out tracking and has a frontal camera, if you walk outside of your play area, it just gives you a camera feed of what's in front of you.
Oh, that's oh, thank God. That's smart. One of the main things that deterred me from getting the Valve Index was just size. It had to do with the area of play. I couldn't support that even in my apartment at the time, just because I had no room.
Really, all I do when I'm like, I'm clearing it, like any, I just tuck this chair in under the desk, and I move the love seat of the couch like all the way back against the wall, and then that gives me a pretty spacious play area. That I have played like 4 or 5 hours of Half-Life Alyx on without problem.
Great. That's fantastic. And it's at a fraction of the cost too. The Quest is good, but I have a better question. Why not Google Cardboard?
You know, I tried it before. It just doesn't work when I play in the shower.
Didn't play Alyx well enough.
Yeah, I couldn't quite run it on that.
I just couldn't run Alyx well enough. It didn't have the, it was locked at 30 FPS on Cardboard, so of course I couldn't play it.
It didn't have the technology I needed.
Yeah. It was just locked.
So man wasn't there yet, you know. We're ready now.
Humanity has not taken the steps that it has needed for Google Cardboard to really take off. That's what I've learned from this.
Yeah, no, that's, you learned correctly. That's true.
Well, I'm pretty damn unsurprised that Alyx is good, because I know it's good. And I know that at least when Valve comes out, as you were saying earlier at the very start, you know, Valve takes an eternity and a half to develop a game. They do. And I have to say, they always do it right, and they always make an impact somewhere in their
titles.
They
don't develop half-assed, yeah.
Yeah, they never develop half-assed, no matter what they do. And you gotta give them credit. I know Half-Life 3 is the meme. It's the meme of all memes. I get it. Mm-hmm. Half-Life 3 win.
Well, we got it. Half-Life Alyx
divided by 5 is 3. I feel you.
Half-Life Alyx is Half-Life 3, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, this is it. So, I remember also, I don't know.
If you ever wanted to kill shot the Combine, here's your opportunity, because I walked right up to one and was like, I turned it sideways. just bopped him in the head.
I was really just showing him I'm serious. Yeah, I don't know if Gabe Newell said this or Valve did as a company, but I firmly believe that they're just waiting for the right time to release 3. They're just waiting for an opportunity to, again, make another imprint in the technological space for how they actually develop the game.
And I think that shows enough. Like, technically, I think like Half-Life Alyx is like Half-Life 1.5, like where it falls in the timeline. But like, my point being, like, this is not a weird small VR thing. It was billed as a $60 game. There's that much in there. This is a full Half-Life game just built entirely for virtual reality.
Yeah, and I truly do hope people, other VR developers, look at that and essentially just use it. Study it.
That's just it. Like, I think it's going to be one of those case study things where it's like, And this is where we figured out the like best way to do X thing in VR and stuff. Like, they figured out a lot that makes sense as far as, I think, making locomotion feel good and having that way to more easily get items and having to root through everything with your hands. They figured out good inventory swapping to be able to quickly switch between like multi-tools and weapons as Alex.
Yeah, and I even remember, I don't know where I saw it, but I know even certain developers were working on what seems to be basic things on the surface, but are really technically challenging, like having liquid in bottles and being able to extract liquid and dry and dump it out and then refill it. You know, just things like that, when you're seeing them being performed, especially in a VR capacity in the next, say, 5 years, it's going to be insane.
Yeah.
You already, from what I have seen for Alex, to me, it's already blown my mind, and I can't imagine how it's going to feel, because when I played Superhot VR, that blew me out of the water. And we're just talking about Superhot VR here, and I don't mean to downplay. That game is still the best.
I'm shooting barnacles in VR, Eric.
Yeah, it's just that kind of feeling. When you see responsive design, and you can play around with it, and then you're playing Alex, which is going to be a cut above, get you giddy. Get you amped.
I lifted a big oil drum over my head to walk underneath a barnacle and just watched it, like, suck up. And I was like, it's fucking wild that we're doing
this. Yeah, you're just like, cool. It sucked up. You're like, nice. I know that there's that GIF on the Steam page, I think, where they take the rolly chair and they take the head crab and they just throw it. I have wanted to do that for over a year, and I know when it happens or has that oil drum when it gets sucked up, I'm just going to look at it and go, cool.
This
is the cool feeling.
But for the record, that was the first time I killed a head crab, and like the first section where one pops out and you're just in this garage and I'm just like up its ass, like firing, and the body just keels over in front of me and I picked it up and I was like, cool.
It's just like cool. Like, you just whip it off and you're like, yeah. You're just playing around with his legs and doing such mundane things that you otherwise wouldn't do in real life, but you're just like, nice. But yeah, it's not even surprising that that thing is still on top. I know the reasons why it didn't win things like Game of the Year. I get you. I still wish it did, because it was my Game of the Year without even playing it.
Yeah, it's fucking wild. I can't wait to talk more with you about it and hopefully be able to afford you the opportunity to play it the next time we're actually...
Oh, dude, I don't even care if you spoil it for me at this point. I just like learning about it. I'm so interested in the tech and just the way that it functions that... I gush over it without even trying it. It's insane.
Having only scratched the surface.
$70, Rich? Would that be?
I would have paid $70 for this. Depending on how you look at it, I paid basically $400 for it when you consider everything I bought to get here. I'll be playing Resident Evil 4 sometime this year.
There you go. In terms of next gen, I think Alex is still next gen. I thought Alex was next gen before it even got to next gen.
Yeah. And I think that's why, like, I think that's why the Resident Evil 4 thing appeals to me so much, too. Like, that, like, cool aspect you were talking about. Be like, now for Resident Evil 4 is a game I know top to bottom. I'm going to be able to walk in through it at a 1-to-1 scale. Like, I'm going to pick a chicken egg up off the floor and be like, cool.
Yeah, exactly. Or even go to the well and it picks up one of those medallion coin things. I'll just be like, cool.
And... also,
I'm thinking about it.
You'll love this. From my understanding of the way the VR for that game is set up, to save your game, you need to actually like type your file name into a typewriter.
Cool.
And the way the case works is, from what I'm saying, is like you do a motion to like reach behind your back or something, and you pull out a physical case that you then have to sort through.
I'm telling you, man, this is why. I remember 2 years ago, because that was 2019. That's still wild. They have those VR cafe places where they dedicate the entire space to just VR games.
Yeah.
Even the mundane shit, like work simulator or job simulator.
Job simulator is fucking great.
Yeah, they're like, open this register, make this smoothie.
Learn to job. There's a novelty to it.
Do a job. I remember every single time I would do some mundane shit, I'd pick up like a banana and just go, cool. Every time.
Well, you...
Like, these aren't next-gen graphics either. It's just the idea of being able to do it. I love the VR space. It's a heavy investment sometimes, but with the Quest and everything else that's becoming more accessible at the price points, it's fucking awesome. It's just cool.
It's one of those things where it's, like, the pure novelty of something stupid, and it shows you how the human brain works. Like, one of the first things I try in any VR game, and any VR game that can't do it is fucked up, is you see, like, a hat on the floor, and you pick up the hat and put it on your head, and then you could see the hat in your peripherals.
cool. I wish I could just be on a trailer for any VR game and just go, cool.
Yeah, no, it's just the cut after they show some amazing sequence and it's just you in a room, like, on the couch, like, cool.
Yeah, with, like, a thing of Doritos just all over me. I'm like,
also, a setting that's definitely a setting, but I'm not going to change because I think it's cool, is I couldn't figure out a way to crouch in Half-Life Alyx, meaning anytime I need to get under a low object, I literally crouch on the floor.
Cool. I don't care. It's so cool. This is exactly why I want to have a space. Like, whenever I would devote myself to getting a full-fledged headset, like an Index or something, I want the space for it because I want to just be able to go nuts and just crawl around and do some random nonsense.
That's the beauty of playing PC games over Wi-Fi with Quest, is because, like, I don't have a lot of space up here. I can make most games work, but a lot of times I'll just go downstairs where I have a lot more space.
Cool. What's the what's that one game with the weapons? Bone something?
Oh, Boneworks.
Boneworks, yeah. Like, even, honestly, being able to, like, reload guns and
you just reminded me I wanted to buy Boneworks.
Well, yeah, you should. This is exactly, I'm telling you, I'm so easy to impress with this. I remember they were just passing an ammo clip to somebody else who just went like that, and I was like, man, that's cool.
Oh, you'll be happy to know that in Half-Life Alyx, you do have to eject the cartridge and properly reload
it. I know about that already. I know about it, and I'm in it. It's so cool.
You know when you decide it's cool, and this is the first moment for you? When there's, like, two shamblers coming at you, and you got to eject the cartridge, and I'm in my bag, like, come on, come on.
You have to go reach in. You're like,
yeah, that you have to reach over your shoulder into your backpack to pull out ammo.
That's so fun. That would make me crap myself just from stress.
Come on. I can't get the slide to go.
I love it. So for those listening too, if you even can invest in a VR headset, you should.
If you have a PC,
and I would encourage you, even if you're not into Half-Life, honestly, I genuinely mean this.
It is the thing to check out. It is the thing to check out. You don't have to know shit about a Half-Life story. Know that there's zombies and you got to get from point A to point B while doing some killing.
Yeah. Like, if you really want to educate yourself afterward, do it. But if you even remotely want to, even if you don't like shooter games, check it out, man. We're talking about the graphics alone and also functionality. This is what the future of VR will look like for bigger titles. I really think Alyx stepped in, not just as a Half-Life title, but really showing you what a $60 like VR game can be compared to just the usual $25 to $30 kind of deal that you were just getting, like, say, with Job Simulator or with Super Bone Hot. Works. Not to say that those are even bad games. It's just showing you, hey, listen, if you want a AAA publisher to get behind, a AAA developer to get behind this, this is what is possible. Valve is the platinum standard, but goddamn, it's so good.
I still need to find time to dip into Phasmophobia in VR. I haven't done that yet.
Oh, you'll probably shit yourself.
That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, you'll probably shit yourself. Driving back to the overall thing, too, because I know I do want to hear about Nier Replicant, and I do absolutely want to hear about Turner Boy Commits Tax Evasion. I really, really do. In terms of, just to put a nice, neat little cap that I never got to do just yet, in terms of how, you know, should you spend it for $70 for a game like that, I'm of two minds of it. I think it's a little hard. Obviously, if it's going to be a game that you really want, like, say, Demon's Souls. I'm the biggest shill for Demon's Souls and From Software. I don't know anybody who isn't, unless they just don't like those games. I feel that. I paid $70 for it. I would always pay $70 for it because I trust the developer and I know what I'm getting out of it. Prior to CD Projekt Red Cyberpunk, you would have heard me tell you. I would pay $70 for it. Yeah.
Until it got real close to Cyberpunk and I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. I tell my younger brother this all the time because it makes me crack up every time I hear it. He had shown me a clip from a developer diary like a month or two prior to launch. It was of the combat training area, and I think some of the hands were clipping with the hand blades or whatever it was, and he said, this game is going to be ass. And I laughed so hard because I was drinking the Cyberpunk Kool-Aid. I was thinking it would fall under Fallout's footsteps where it's not going to look the greatest, but it'll be a good game. Like, say, New Vegas. New Vegas looks sometimes ridiculous, but it's a great game. It's one of the best examples of lore in the Fallout series
to
date. So I was willing to. I would have paid $70 for that. But just educate yourself. I always think that people should still wait until review. Pre-ordering these days, it doesn't make sense to me anymore. With the digital age, it just does not make sense to me.
The only thing is, like, if it's a pure convenience thing for you and it's something you know you're going to play, like, for me, like, if I like to get things physical when I can at this point, but, like, as an example, I know I'm going to buy Resident Evil. If I was buying it digital, I would pre-order it just for the sake of preloading it, just having
yeah,
it
for
ready.
If you know by that point, like, say Returnal, it releases tomorrow, like...
Yeah, I might just pay for that
after
this podcast so I can preload it.
Yeah, the reviews are out. This is what I mean, though. When you educate yourself a little bit on it, the reviews are out. Feel free to pre-order for preload. I just mean, like, blindly pre-ordering.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, months in advance, just be like, yo, hype. And I'm telling you, Cyberpunk really did change my perspective on it because I was waiting on it for a release date because it kept getting delayed last year. And thank God it did, because I would have bought it. It would have been auto-added to the account. I would have gotten it refunded in the long run. But what if I couldn't? So it's just a matter of, you know, being a smart consumer. Don't just buy on hype. Give it some reviews. Returnal, though, I think... From what I read, and this is what Rich was mentioning earlier, the whole deal with Returnal right now is that it's a good roguelike. It's one of the first AAA roguelikes that I know of.
Yeah, the only other thing in terms of high profile, of like super high profile roguelikes that I think of, and this isn't even AAA, is like Hades.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's why I was just saying AAA, because $70, a roguelike game, I don't think there's one.
Also, my understanding of it is in more of a sci-fi mystery trope, this does another thing that, like, Hades did really smartly, is making the fact that it's a roguelike a part of the narrative.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody already at this point knows that Hades is amazing, but truly, the narrative design of that game... was very impressive.
Yes.
It was a very impressive way that they handled it. And I still, if there's one thing I love the hell out of for that game, it is for narrative, not even for the gameplay itself, which is in a world
still
of its own, highly enjoyable.
It's fucking amazing, yeah.
It's just, I think it's such a smart way to keep you invested in the overall story. And even after you beat it, well after you beat it, there's always
also
something new there.
Just,
it seems endless.
The set design within that, too. Like, they worked the, like, this sort of walk of shame into dying, like, where you were almost, like, towards the end starting to be like, I don't want to hear it, with, like, another Hades, like, well, well, well. Like,
yeah, and even Zagreus doesn't want to either. Like, yeah. It's just very, you know, like, it was very well-crafted, and
yeah.
It tapped into how should the player feel. It's so fucking funny. Like, I love little things like that. Even Dead Cells, for what it's worth, they don't do it as in-depth as Hades does, but even Dead Cells has, like, little quips sometimes, or just fun little things that keep it fresh and new for you. With Returnal, the reason why I was all in on it when I first saw it as a trailer, and as I started to learn more about it, I was thinking, yeah, it's a new IP. It has this alien-esque kind of look to it.
That's the immediate appeal.
I can't not see Sigourney Weaver in the main character.
Yeah,
I can't not see her. I don't even know if that was the expectation. I looked up nothing about this, but I can't not see her. And every time I see a suit like that, I'm like, oh, it's probably like Alien or something. But I have heard that there had been an hour and a half run times for completing a run. That's not what I take issue with. It's what Rich was saying.
You
don't really have save states
during a run. Like, you save states only exist pre and post run, which again, PS5 has a suspend feature. I don't right now think it's reliable enough to just be okay with that. Like, there have been problems with some games at launch where it just doesn't mesh with them. Like, it just didn't mesh with Miles Morales for a while.
Do I care about that too much? No, I'd probably play it through.
It's not the end of the world, but...
It's about accessibility for a lot of other people. Not everybody's, you know, fortunate to just play crush an hour and a half run. That may even take 2 hours, you know? I don't even know, based on what parameters the 90-minute runtime was, where it was measured. Was it truly, like, an average run, or was it just something that somebody who was decked out
was able
to accomplish?
I don't even think they were saying average runs. I think they were saying, like, sometimes runs can get that long later in the game.
Yeah, so I feel that. I also... It's just for console functionality. PlayStation 5's rest feature, mine has crashed several times.
As has mine.
Do I care too much about it at the end of the day? Yeah, I've cursed about it. Yeah, when you're paying like $500 for a console, I want it to work every single time. So, I don't think it holds a candle still to Xbox's quick resume feature.
Yeah, quick resume seems like undeniably reliable.
And I don't even own an Xbox, so that's how you know how bad I'm shilling for them. But I really like their quick resume feature. I wish that was on the PS5. I think in time, I'm hoping to see that.
I think we'll see that stuff only get better because the suspend resume only got better with the PS4's life. Like, yeah. I was all trusting to the PS4 suspend resume by the end of its life.
Yeah. And I'm actually, I mean, there was going to be console re-implementations to enhance it. It's going to happen.
This is surely as good as the PS5 will ever be.
Yeah. What do you mean? This is the best.
You were me when I was telling you. When I walked into a computer store in 2002 and I was like, and this is as good as computers will ever get?
Yeah, it's like Bill Gates came in and said, this is PC, and they said, this is the best it's ever going to get, and it only from there has
I was able to throw that PC out a week later.
I'm sure they're going to be able to cut that PS5 size down into two, just because that's the Sony way.
But then
way.
You can only buy them in sets of two.
Mark Cerny just comes out and says, we shove the solid-state drive into a smaller solid-state drive. And I'm like, but Mark, that's impossible. You can't.
We're calling this drive the Solid Snake Drive.
Yeah, we're calling it the Solid Snake Drive. It actually is shaped like a snake curled up. And I'm like, well, that's strange.
Thunderous applause.
Yeah, thunderous applause is met. People still disappointed. Yeah, I think that the whole save feature is kind of a bummer. I don't know if I'd pay $70 for it. There is something about Returnal. I can't put my finger on it. This is coming from pure ignorance. I can't stress that enough.
Go ahead.
I have a feeling I would get this game, play it, beat it, enjoy it. It's a roguelike, so it's meant to be played over and over again. I played Hades and Dead Cells, by the way, a shit ton. Same with Rogue Legacy. I have a feeling that in a couple of weeks' time to a month, if I was just playing that on and off, I think I'd forget about it. And I don't know why I would forget about it. It just doesn't seem like a game, from what I've seen, that has legs to hook me.
I don't know.
And really remember it. And I'm totally judging this based on nothing. And I really want to make that apparent.
No, I'm just hoping, like, they've done a good job, from my understanding, is keeping a lot of their alien designs, like, not in the promotional stuff to leave it mysterious. So maybe it will end up grabbing you. I don't know.
Even the gameplay, from what I've seen so far of some of the areas, like, I've seen people playing it on Twitch and otherwise from reviewers, because I think they were allowed to do that for...
Yeah.
It just seemed like it was fun, but nothing really struck out to me in that way. Like, I've beaten Hades plenty of times on the computer. I know when I go back and get my PC again, I'd still load that up.
It's
just something that I don't know if it'll keep me coming back for more. The best example of this that I have is Remnant from the Ashes. Only because it was like a third-person shooter kind of game. I'm not talking about the overall gameplay. It was something that had a great concept on paper. It was like a Souls-y, shooter-y kind of multiplayer game. There was just something about it, whether it was its atmosphere, its design, or something that didn't really make itself memorable to me.
Sure.
Even though I'm remembering it right now. And I think Returnal has that same... It gave me that same vibe. I was just like, man, this looks like Alien. That's really fucking cool, but... I have a feeling I'm going to have, like, straight-up amnesia that this game even exists in my console by the time I'm done with it. I don't know.
We'll find out.
I'm hoping that's not the case, though.
Yeah, hopefully not.
It looks good.
It remains
to be
seen.
Point. And I'm glad actually, we got a AAA game as a roguelike. I think there's so much potential for that genre. I personally love that shit.
It's a great genre.
Give me more. Yeah, give me more. Totally love it. Is it worth $70? I don't know.
We'll let you know.
Decision yourself. Yeah, let me know. You get back to me and you let me know. So Returnal, good. Really quick, too, and we can jump back into just the overall games. Monster Hunter Rise did come out their first update.
I have not logged in yet. I downloaded it.
Biggie update.
What do we get? Camellios?
You get I think you get Teostra, Camellios, and a third Elder Dragon.
I thought this one was just Camellios and Apex... Rathalos.
Oh, am I thinking two updates ahead?
You might be, yeah. This one, I think, is Camellios and Apex Rathalos.
Yeah, okay. Nope. Let me see. Yeah,
and, you know, new armor sets.
No. So Teostra and the Kushala do join them on that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Do. Yeah, yeah.
So okay, so that's a pretty sizable update.
Right. No, yeah, I was actually... So I say this. This is my catchphrase. My brother, he plays a lot of Rise, and he kind of already beat it with my cousin and them too. And he was telling me that yeah, this is a pretty big update, and it's happened about a month out from its release.
Yeah,
that's pretty
that's
damn
wild.
Cool. These guys, once again, Capcom coming in, swinging their weight around, and just doing things, and it's free. Like that's
yeah.
cool.
It's not an expansion. It's just a free edition of Monsters. And my feeling is that like they probably were working on this stuff alongside it and up until the end, and it probably became one of those like, hey, this game is chock full of content, so like we'll give you more time on the stuff you say you need more time on, and then we'll ship it, you know. So they're like, all right, well, we have these certain monsters, these certain armor sets that we want more polish time on, and we could just ship those in an update a month out.
Yeah, and I always think it's pretty cool how anytime there's a new Monster Hunter update, it's just new monsters and they're just copy paste. It's just fun. It's just
awesome.
Fun shit. Like I actually look forward to it. I go, man, that's so cool. But it's the same thing. Like it's literally a re-implementation of existing things. And I still look at it and I go, man, that's cool.
And I got to
like,
go do these grind, these heavier hunts. And then at the same time, I just spend all my time in Monster Hunter being like, I'm going to learn the hunting horn now.
Yeah, exactly. You just go to a completely different weapon set. And you're like, I'm gonna learn.
I made that Barrios hunting horn where it just looks like a fucking guitar.
Dude, I love those.
It's metal
hunting
as hell.
It's great. Yeah. So they came out there of their update. I hope moving forward, the Switch world, the Switch Nintendo world of Monster Hunter,
the Pokemon
and the
world.
Monster Hunter world. Continue to exist in their different spheres but keep borrowing from one another. Like I'm totally okay with Monster Hunter World developing their high fidelity graphical updates
with
a bunch of gameplay additions, and then the Switch version just continuously adding a chock full of content every single time and just making it available for like the next 2 years. They always do it. It's wild. I respect them so much for it, and it's just such a cool way to do it.
Capcom's been a big winner for me over the past couple of years. We talked about that a lot on the show.
What a turnaround. I genuinely one day want to have like a cast where we break down the rise of the fall and the rise again of Capcom, because I swear there's a period
we could write that book,
get any less of a fuck about Capcom games. And
the Lost Planet years?
Lost Planet 2 years. Lost Planet was a good game.
Well, you know what's funny is I've seen interviews recently where they talk about that, and I'm like, I guess that is what it was. I never pieced that together. That like Lost Planet initially was supposed to be like the super sci-fi answer to Monster Hunter.
Yep. And that's not to dig against people who like Lost Planet 2. Lost Planet 2 is a good game. It is a good game. It just didn't impress me as much as the first one did. I gotta be real.
Didn't end with a bunch of dudes in mechs like charging this behemoth of a snow monster.
Yeah, you gotta be real where you're real here.
They should have just
didn't
made
really
it.
Make me. I was already engrossed in the Lost Planet 1 world with the multiplayer and everything, so when they switched over to co-op and fighting things, it was kind of a different experience for me. I had a different expectation for it.
But at the same time, I think back to that, and I'm like, I think I'd like that super sci-fi monster.
No, I would love it. Yeah, give it to me. Give it to me again. I'm forgetting it. There was something about Lost Planet 2 that fundamentally was not good.
I can't remember. It was so long ago.
And I can't. It was so long ago. There was a...
I remember playing
surface,
a shit ton of Lost Planets multiplayer, like the first one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, dude. There were people...
That grappling hook
you could dress
stuck
up as
in
Mega
my
Man.
Head.
Yeah. You could dress up as Mega Man.
It was a Capcom game. That's what Capcom games do.
I know, but... Capcom games would give you, like, the Mega Buster. People were just walking around
as
Mega Man.
Man.
And I was like, this is weird, and he's grappling around. That game is great.
That's actually the funniest part is, I think we talked about this at the time, when I started replaying the PS5 version of DMC5,
mm-hmm.
Like this random stuff they added in there, like you know Nero's whole system where he has like the robot arms that you swap out.
Yeah,
they just added the Mega Buster into the rotation randomly in this version.
That's cool.
So there's nothing more hilarious than me being this
cool,
infamed demon hunter in a cutscene with Mega Man's gun for an arm.
Cool.
It was cool.
You want to know what I want them to bring back? Speaking of, because now I'm thinking of the old school shooters, and now I'm gonna go down this rabbit hole. I want them to bring back a game like Mag. Do you remember Mag?
Yeah, that was the 100 people one.
Yeah. I want them to bring that back.
That's Battle Royales, Eric. That's what that is. They did it. That's what Battle Royales are.
No. That's not what I want. I want it like Mag. I don't want like Call of Duty Turf Wars or Battlefield. I don't want that. I wanted, the best way to explain this was, what's that game? Foxhole? Foxtrot? The one that's the war game. You can hop in, hop out. You know what I'm talking about? Are you aware of this game? I'll inform you for the first time. I may know something here.
Maybe.
Okay, it is Foxhole. Foxhole is a game on Steam that I actually recommend that you check out. Because if I can get this on a Mac, maybe I'll check it out too. And I probably can't. Foxhole is an army war game. Top-down shooter. You play the role of a soldier. Everybody has their own roles, ranks, whatever. But it's a massive map. Like, there's no conceivable way that you can't, that you can get from one place to the other but in just a session. Like, it's going to take time. And it's all about battling for territory.
It's only been in early access for 4 years.
Listen, I'm telling you, there's a reason for that. You knock. But I'm telling you, I've watched so many people play this. I've watched my family play this. It's just, it's a game where you are battling for control over several regions. And okay. There are so many people on this map because it can hold them. But it's war. It's literally war. And if you die, like if you get shot, like shot, you die. And then you have to go back to a very far away place. And it takes weeks for territories to be lost and won and lost and won and then eventually resets. It's a tried and true, from what I can tell, war game. And people do voice chats, have commanding officers, like RP, all this shit.
Okay.
And it's cool. Now, I want that. And I want them to use the mags kind of system where they just bring in like 200 plus people because it's next gen now. And everybody has their own roles and everything. And it is a AAA HD type of game. Would the servers explode? Would we need server space the size of a state? Yeah, totally. But think of how cool that would be.
Think of how many people would lean back and go, cool.
Yeah, sure. Would the rainforest need to be sacrificed? Yeah, I feel that. But damn. Imagine having a 200 to 300 person active online server where you're just playing the role of an infantry soldier and just doing a general conquest territory battle over the course of like a week or two. That's cool.
That's some cool stuff.
Yeah. Mag, when it first got introduced, when I was younger, I was a young lad. I couldn't appreciate that shit. I still never appreciated it back when it came out on the PS3. It just seemed like a massive cluster of people shooting each other, and I couldn't get it. But after coming across it again and watching it, I was like, man, what a cool concept.
Well, it was undeniably a cool concept.
And that's why they didn't make it again.
And that's why they stopped making
it. And that's why the studio is gone.
That's why the studio is kaput.
But I do want to hear about Replicant.
Yeah, let me talk a little bit about this. I've only played like the first 2-ish hours of Nier Replicant, but I have started it because, you know what? I did some research on Nier because I like Nier Automata a lot, and I wanted to see.
Now, when we say research, are we talking about like lore?
Yeah.
Story?
Well, in terms of trying to understand like the lineage of this game, I didn't want to know.
What a clusterfuck.
Yeah, okay, so let me tell you this. I always knew Nier and Drakengard were related somehow.
Yeah. So I remember we talked about that.
Nier is... Okay, here's the thing. Like, people will go, oh, there's Drakengard 5, and then, no, that's not what it is. One of the endings to Drakengard 1 for the PS2, in one of those endings, at the end of the game, a god is killed, and he falls on the earth and decays. That is Nier. Nier is the sequel to one of the possible endings of Drakengard 1 for the PS2.
Isn't that cool?
Isn't that... It's... Fuck, only Yokotaro!
No, it's so convoluted and so... I remember when I watched the... I'm telling you, there's like a 30-minute lore video on these things, and I hate watching these because they're just...
It's excruciating.
It's so dumb. It is. It's excruciatingly painful because... Excruciatingly... What's the word?
Excruciating.
Yeah, there we go. Sorry.
It's okay.
It's painful because you watch this 30-minute thing. You're never going to go back and play Drakengard. I'm not going to go back and play that shit to get one ending.
And also, the fact of the matter is, like, from what I understand, it doesn't matter at all. Like, the state of the world in Drakengard in no way impacts what the world of Nier is like because it's so far removed from it.
You want to know even worse? He got away with it. He should have been arrested. Yokotaro should have been
in cuffs. Yeah.
He should have been tried for his fucking crime right there, and he didn't even get off scot-free and was able to make several more games.
We threw him a goddamn parade.
Yeah, we gave him a parade, paid his checks, made sure he was well fed so he could go out and do it again.
And keep doing this shit to us.
And now here we are with a PS4 release title of a game that's a sequel.
So, I'm playing Nier Replicant, which is... Okay. Here's, let me explain this other thing with Nier and how it worked in the US the first time. Okay. When Nier originally came out, the original Nier, there were two versions of it. There was Nier Replicant and there was Nier Gestalt. In the US, we only got Nier Gestalt. As far as my understanding of this, the only difference between these two games are the identity of the protagonist, who is either like a gruff father in Gestalt or a brother to this character, Yorna, in Nier Replicant.
Yeah.
So we finally got the Replicant version here where you're playing as this character who is... Depending on what day of the week you bump into Yoko Taro on the street,
he'll give you a different answer every single day.
The character's name is either Nier or he doesn't have a canon name. So basically the main premise of this first game, and it's set a long time before Automata, is your sister is this girl named Yornha. She basically, through the game's intro, you end up getting hold of this book called Grimoire Vice. And your sister gets afflicted with this, like, ailment that people can get where, like, all this sort of magic writing appears on them until it overtakes their bodies. And then they either die or they turn into a shade, which are the enemies in this game. So the first half of the game, which I know it changes significantly in the second half. I haven't really looked into how because I don't want to know. The first half is just you sort of venturing out and trying to find a way to cure her with Grimoire or Vice as your wisecracking ally in this floating book.
In Gestalt, I think it's Weiss too, and in this one it's Vice.
It's, well, it's spelled Weiss, pronounced Vice with the new voice work.
I hate this. I already hate this. I'm sorry, continue. I already hate it.
Yes. So the gameplay has definitely been updated. Like, it still feels a little bit like a PS3 game, but it also feels significantly more like Automata. Like, it's fast-paced action combat. On your right trigger, you have Vice floating behind you, and he basically works the exact same way the pods did in Automata. Mm-hmm. Like, he fires magic from the front, and then you can equip different, like, charge-based attacks from him, where, like, a giant fist will come down and punch people, or you'll throw, like, a bigger projectile. Really cool thing this game has? It has an auto-battle mode. And I say it's really cool because you can just turn this on when you get into an encounter and it just lets a really good AI take over. And the reason I say it's cool is because the kind of anime bullshit combos you can see happen if you just sit back and watch this is kind of remarkable.
Can you change the AI at all in terms of how well it plays?
Not that I've seen. I'm not going to say definitely no.
What a stunt on the player to just say, yeah, you want us to just do this? You could do an auto battle if you want somebody better to take the wheel.
And it's fucking sick to watch. I still think the gameplay feels pretty good, so it's not something I'm going to like overtly use. But I just wanted to see what it was about. The music, again, is fucking standout, like, just in the same way. So much of like the air of this world and the music and everything is what I'm loving about it. And I like Automata a lot, which is the reason I picked this up. If you're a big fan of Nier Automata, I would say this is definitely for you. There's cool shit in this. It's weird as hell. It's Yoko Taro's weird Nier shit, but I think it's very cool and it's very well done. It's very pretty. Like, it's still not a next-gen game. It's a remastered PS3 game, but it looks pretty damn good.
Damn.
And it feels pretty damn good to play.
Like send that. I always buy Nier product. Maybe this is the Yoko Taro method too. I always buy his products and I never play them enough to actually make sense of any of the story whatsoever.
I got like every 12 I got endings I got have. Every ending in Automata.
How long did it take you?
I can't fucking tell. I couldn't remember when I was playing
incalculable.
It I was really into it, so it flew by in that state.
Incalculable.
Oh, yeah. Also, like, I'm trying to figure out the way characters align, because Devola and Popola, who are in Automata, is just, like, these traveling women in the desert, are in this game that's set a long time before Automata, but they're just, like, these twins that live in this town. Like, one of them is, like, basically a librarian, and one of them is, like, a bard. But it's very much the same characters.
Cool.
Yeah, that's what I told Yokotaro. He's like, cool. Oh, and Devil and Popola are in this. And I was like, cool.
I have no thoughts about it because I've given up on it. I mean, in a good way. I'll probably one day
pick it up,
actually
yeah.
It's cool. Time.
It's very cool. And the other thing I've been playing is Turtle Boy Commits Tax Evasion.
Does he?
He does. This is a new Nindy that's out.
That's not good.
I played a little bit of it, and it's very fun. It's a top-down sort of Zelda-like game. You're playing as a little vegetable character named Turnip Boy, and the game opens with the you looking at a document about your taxes, and you're given two options to either read it, which just temporarily lets you read it, or rip it up. So naturally, you rip it up. And then the mayor storms your building. He's like, "Turnip Boy, what have you done? You've committed tax evasion." So you end up becoming an indentured servant to the mayor, following your tax evasion scandal. And it seems like a lot of the way through, this reminds me of Link's Awakening a lot, because a lot of it is like a trade up quest where you're going to like these dungeons, and then it'll be like, "Oh, I need you to give me this item so you can get this item so you can progress," sort of stuff. It's just a weird game. It's got this bubbly, like, cutesy anime style. The writing is fantastic. There's literally a bunch of documents you can find in-game, but whenever you find a document, your only option is to rip it up. So you just have a list of all these important documents you've torn in half.
How much is it?
I believe it's $15 on sale for, like, $12 on Switch.
This is easily one of those things the dev team was just messing around with in terms of concept.
Yeah.
And then one of them just looked and went, but what if?
What if we just make it that?
What if we just did it? That's pretty funny.
It's really tongue-in-cheek, funny writing. And I think, like, the gameplay isn't particularly challenging, but it's fun enough to just keep you going through the dumb jokes.
Unreal. I like it. Well, for $15, that's a steal.
Yeah. Big recommendation on Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion.
Huge recommendation. I thought you were just messing around with me on the title. I was like,
no,
all right,
that's a real game.
It's like, no, it's real.
Part of me secretly feels like after the Yoshi doesn't pay his taxes meme, like they were experimenting with making a Yoshi game, but then had to come up with an original character.
Saying, like,
by the time
I totally imagine a bunch of people riffing on the idea of it and then just being like, oh yeah, we should all like Turnip Boy or something really dumb. And they just go, haha. Yeah, but what if?
Yeah.
Let's like make it fine.
It's kind of how Untitled Goose Game came to be.
Yeah, for sure. Literally from the Slack messages.
Yeah.
Like, okay. I think it was asking, what was it? About goose facts?
Yeah, yeah. And it just led into them talking about it, like, gooses are dumb because they're just like two colors.
It's like, what's up with that? Let's get into the drop at the end because there's only so little.
Yeah, very short one. The Colonists coming to PS4, Xbox One, and Switch on May 4th. Dark Knights with Poe and Monroe comes to PS4 and Xbox One on May 4th. Demio hits PC VR on May 6th, and High Risers hits PC on May 6th.
Yep, you got Returnal coming out tomorrow. Oh yeah, Pokemon Snap.
And Pokemon Snap, which that's reviewing incredibly well.
Is it really?
Yeah. I'm trying to make sure. I need to see how my bank account looks like tomorrow because I don't let it dip below a certain number because I'm paranoid, but I'm probably going to buy
it. Like, I got to look at what's going on in there.
I got to buy Pokemon Snap.
I don't know. I'm glad it's good. I feel nothing. I feel so bad about it because I feel nothing when I see it.
When you should feel everything.
Yeah, honestly, yeah. I feel like my inner child got taken out of me and shot.
Fujifilm is selling a Bluetooth photo printer for Pokemon Snap.
I really thought you were going to say Fujifilm is sponsored in this, and I was going to think.
Well, I guess they are in some way because they're releasing a Pikachu version of their Bluetooth printer, and it comes out tomorrow for Pokemon Snap.
When GameStop eventually comes back right before they go out of business, they should actually spend the rest of their income on Pokemon Snap stations.
Yeah.
Just updated.
I did find out, I don't know if I ever brought this up to you, a convenience store chain in Japan is getting Pokemon Snap stations for this game.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What?
Like, they're getting stations where you will be able to delete your, where you will be able to print your,
delete
Pokemon
all
Snap
of your stuff.
Yeah, you could do that from wherever.
So there's no other purpose. You actually just put your save file in and it'll just wipe it for you.
Cool. It's a magnet. You swipe your Switch over.
You actually look at the station itself, you're like, wait a minute, what is this? And you open it up, it's just a big fridge magnet. And you're like, what the fuck? You just gotta rub your console against it or any other electronic and it'll brick it for free.
That's a great
Makes
deal.
sense to me.
It's a great deal.
Makes sense to me. That sounds totally on brand for what actually would be released.
But yeah, this is a thing I was reading about certain convenience stores.
Convenience stores.
Yeah.
I like that. That's pretty cool. Well, there's a lot coming out though. Get your $70 ready.
Yeah, next time we might have games to talk about.
What are you talking? We did.
I know,
Oh, you mean like more?
but even more because there's so many
Even
games.
more?
Even more.
Yeah, I think at this
I'll,
point.
it's just gonna be me showing you a slideshow of photos I've taken of Pokemon.
I actually hope it's photos of you taking of it's photos of your photos. And you just
Yeah.
show them to me, and they're also taken with the Fujifilm
But
camera.
then there's just like photos of me working out, and I'm like, what's weird? How'd those get in there?
In the Polaroids too. It's literally just you shirtless. You're like, whoa, that's weird. How did that get in there? I'm like, we don't even. I'm like, we don't even record the video. Who's this for? It's like going through a
And I
business
just go,
presentation,
I
and
go.
it's your vacation photos of you like just flexing for no reason. You're like,
Oh, here's me up in Cape Cod. Whoa, how'd that get in there?
whoa, how'd that get in there? But also, yeah, let's talk business. Rich, let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's keep the house
Kept.
kept. Big thank you to Heather Ramos for our wonderful intro and Ed Biquette for our glorious. I reversed it in my
I was
head.
actually going to let you finish for all of that. I was like, yeah, thanks for
That's
the intro
a,
and thanks
yeah,
for the
no, thanks for
icon.
the intro. Thanks to Heather Ramos for our wonderful artwork and Ed Biquette for our intro. You can send us emails, geckogamespodcast@gmail.com. Eric, we can find you on the Twitters. Where at?
At beautiful underscore Eric.
And you can find me here. You can find me on Twitter at TheRichMeister0, and of course my other home at swordchomp.com.
They're gonna
But
say virtual space, and I was gonna be
virtual
cool.
space. But until
Man, that's
then,
cool.
we've got cubes to gleam. Let's get out of here.
All right, bye, everybody.